So first, it is important to develop right motivation, right perception, and right attitude. So with this in mind, you should receive this teaching. Today I will continue the teaching on the sixth chapter of the Bodhisattva Jayavatara text. So we are talking about how to be patient, how to discard the anger. So those who disrespect or those who harm oneself or one's side, we should not react with anger. There's no point to react them with anger, because anger is very serious negative action, the most serious negative action. And also the wealth and property for which we put a lot of effort, and if someone jeopardizes our wealth, then we get angry, which is not right, because gaining wealth and mundane goods are not essential. So, therefore, we should not get angry if someone jeopardizes our wealth, jeopardizes to gain our wealth. So, not only wealth, but also if someone attacks statues or stupas or precious Dharma books, still we should not react with anger. Like the recent attack on our holy Bodh Gaya stupa. After that, many of our holy masters and great teachers, they sent a message saying we should not react with anger, we should tolerate. And their advice and today's teaching are exactly the same meaning. So here also it says, by attacking statue or stupa or Dharma books, we should not react with anger, because by attacking physical stupas and statue, etc., will not harm actual triple gem. Instead, we should feel pity on those attackers. Why? Because due to their serious negative karma, as a result of their negative karma, they will fall down in the lower realms where they experience inconceivable suffering. So they are not the object of our anger. Instead, they are object of our compassion. We should extend our compassion towards all the beings, and especially to those who really committed heinous crimes. K. compassion is very important. So according to the teaching, we must not give up our compassion at any time, anywhere. Try to have this all the time. But outwardly, our physical action and verbal action sometimes can be aggressive, but that also not out of anger, but out of loving kindness, compassion, and bodhicitta. Also, those who harm our gurus, our friends, our close family members, etc., still we should not get angry to those attackers. Instead, we should feel pity. We should generate compassion. Normally, we need to extend our compassion towards all the beings without exception. The object of compassion has no demarcations or no boundaries. We should extend towards all the beings, or limitless sentient beings, and especially to those who are experiencing great suffering or who are going to experience great suffering. So those attackers are the ones who are going to experience great suffering as a result of their own bad karmas. So therefore, we should extend our compassion. And also, these external enemies are not the object of our anger. It is not right to see them as an object of our anger. Because, as I said before, although it seems that he or she intentionally attack on us with their own anger, but actually the enemy himself or herself don't have the intention. It is controlled by the anger, not by the enemy. For example, if we accidentally hit by inanimate objects, then normally we don't get angry towards this inanimate object, although it has caused us to feel pain and sorrow, but we don't get anger. We think that this object has no thought or no mind, so there's no intention to cause suffering. Similarly, enemy also has no intention. They are controlled by anger. If they get angry and if they attack, and as a reply to them, if we also get angry towards them, then it is not right. Anger is always a fault action. Whether they get angry or you get angry, it doesn't matter who gets angry first. We should not think that I'm innocent because I didn't start this problem or I didn't start this fight. First, the other started to beat. And then as a reply, and I also get angry and beat the other. So at that time also, you can't just say it's the fault of the others because they started the fight. No matter who started the fight first, both who are involved in the fight are committing negative actions or have committed the negative actions. So it's both's fault, not only one's fault, or not only other's fault. And also, we should think that when we experience suffering from others, then we should think that actually it is the main cause of receiving such attack is not the others. The main cause is our own bad karma that we have committed in the past. So when we receive this attack, we should think that now our bad karma has happened on ourselves. Normally we say the karmas will not happen on earth or stone or on others. Our karma will only happen on ourselves, whether it will happen in this life or next life or after a few lives. Anyway, it will not happen on others, on other animate or inanimate objects. It must arrive on ourselves, on our mental continuum. So when we receive attacks, we should think this is the result of our own bad karma. This is the retribution of our own bad karma. Because of our own bad karma, in this life, we meet fearful ones who attack on us. If you don't have any bad karma, then we will not meet any fearful ones. Or even if they try to attack, you will not receive the attack, as I have explained before. Like Buddha Shakyamuni. So therefore, it is very important not to hate each other. Instead, try to prevail our loving kindness, compassion, and bodhicitta towards all the beings. So therefore, to materialize these positive thoughts, we should put our effort, we should concentrate on this single-pointedly without any distraction. For example, the fire can spread very fast and can burn many houses, many forests or many trees, etc. Similarly, the anger is like a fire. It can spread. Here it means not physically spreading the fire, but here it means it burns our merits very fast. It burns means it destroys our merits that we have accumulated, not only in this life, but also the ones that we have accumulated in the past lifetimes. Or the merits of thousands of eons can be destroyed by anger of this life. So therefore, we should put great effort to abstain from the fire of anger, And if we have this, then try to remove it as soon as possible. So, if you think the enemy has caused us great suffering, the enemy has done lots of bad things on us. So here, enemy means person who attack on us. Sometimes we don't consider it as an enemy, but anyway, those who attacks on us are considered as an enemy. Because of this, if you think it is right or it is worthwhile to get anger towards them as a reply and not to tolerate, then it is wrong. If we can tolerate the sufferings which are caused by others, then it means we can avoid the inconceivable suffering of hell realms in the future. So, in order to avoid greater suffering, we must tolerate the lesser suffering, which is the suffering of this life. No matter how much great suffering that we experience in this life, is not a big suffering compared to the sufferings of the hell realms. Any human suffering cannot compare with sufferings of hell realms. In this text, it says, for example, if a convicted person who is sentenced or whose sentence is death penalty, and then later, if they change their thoughts, if the judge change their mind, and if he or she just receive lesser punishment, which is to cut his or her own hand rather than having the death penalty. And although cutting hand is cruel, but it is far better than receiving the death penalty. And also, like other example, when we are sick, we can bear the treatments, we can bear to have injection on our own dear body, we can bear to eat very bitter medicine, we can bear to have an operation. We can bear all this in order to save our life, in order to sustain our life, in order to prolong our life. So, in order to avoid the greater suffering of death, we can bear the lesser suffering, such as having injection and other treatments. So similarly, in order to avoid the sufferings of hell realms, we must tolerate this life's suffering and harms that are caused by others. If we can tolerate their harms, then we can get the benefits. we will become the winner. If we don't tolerate, if we get anger as a reply, then we will be the loser, because not only we gain sufferings in this life, but also as a result of our reaction of anger, we will also gain or experience additional sufferings or more sufferings, which are greater than present suffering in the future. So therefore, we must tolerate. And now, we're talking about our enemies. We should negate our anger when someone treat our enemies with warm heart. So if someone praise our enemies, then we should not feel angry, we should not feel sad, we should not feel disappointed. Instead, we should also feel joy, we should also feel rejoice, we should also appreciate their actions. If we can feel happy when your enemies receive praise, then that is the source of happiness. It means we don't have anger. It means we don't have jealousy. It means we don't have gross defilements. And it means we are following the Buddha's teaching. It means we are practicing the Dharma in a proper way. If we have the right motivation to do all these things. If we feel anger, because when the enemy receives praise, then the enemy will feel joy, feel happy, then it is not right. Due to others' happiness, if we feel sad and disappointed, then it is not right. Then, when someone is working for you, then as a result, you need to pay to the workers. And after paying the workers, then they will feel happy. And that is also not right, if you feel in that way. So, when you pay the workers, you don't feel sad. When the workers feel happy, then you don't feel sad. Similarly, when enemies feel happy and joy, you should also feel happy. You should not feel sad. Just like when you pay workers, you don't feel sad. It's the same, because both are others, and both are feeling happiness and joy. So, if you don't feel happy by having others' happiness, then it means we destroy our merits of this life and the past lives, or it means it destroys our future happiness. So, when you receive praise, then you want others to be happy. When enemy receives praise, then you don't want others to be happy. Then that is not fair. That is not right. We should feel same, because we all are equal. We all are sentient beings. We all have same wish. We all wish to remove suffering and wish to gain happiness. So we all have common goal to achieve. So while having this common goal to achieve, if we ignore others and just emphasize on oneself alone all the time, then it is not right. Just like oneself feels happy when we receive praise, similarly we should also feel happy when others receive praise. We should not be biased or prejudiced. And we, as a bodhisattva, because we have already developed bodhicitta, and those who hold the bodhicitta are called bodhisattvas. So we as bodhisattvas should not get angry. It is against our rules. It is against our precepts. And also, at the time of developing the bodhicitta, we promise to help all the beings without any exception. So after having such a strong promise, then when others feel happy, if we don't feel happy, then it is not right. We should feel happy. We should benefit others. And also when they are feeling happy, we should also feel happy. And if others can gain happiness by themselves without your effort, without your involvement, then you should feel joy. You should feel more joy. Because without your effort, they accomplish what you want to accomplish. So, whether the enemies receive praise or not, whether the enemy receives or gains wealth or not, it does not affect you. Whether that person receives praise or not, that person gains wealth or not, it does not matter. It does not affect you. If they receive, then, or if they gain wealth, then you will not become poor. If they don't gain wealth, you will not become rich. It will not affect you. It won't have any impact on you. So you should not feel sad. You should feel joy. If we feel angry when they receive wealth and fame and power and others, then it means we can't destroy others' wealth and fame and power just by developing anger. Instead, it will destroy our own merits that we have accumulated for many eons. If enemies feel sad, if enemies experience suffering, then you should not feel joy. Just by having ill will thoughts on the enemy, it won't cause sufferings to them. So therefore, there's no point to have anger or to feel joy when they are in problems. If we feel satisfied, or if we feel joy, or if we are content when others or when your enemies are in problem, then such thought is a foolish thought. Such thought deceives ourselves. We think we feel joy, but actually feeling joy at such time or on such object itself is the one that destroys our own joy. Actually, that joy does not make joy, or that joy does not create a joy. That joy destroys our own joy. So when others are in problem, if you feel joy, then that joy is not a genuine joy. That joy can destroy our own genuine joy. But at that time, we just feel joy when others are in problem. We just feel joy, but actually it deceives our own mind. It destroys our own joy. So it deceives. And we don't know we are deceiving ourselves because of our ignorance. So therefore, we should know, we should study what is to be adopted and what is to be abandoned. And after having this intellectual understanding, then we should follow according to our understanding or our knowledge. Even if we receive praise and fame and others, then through receiving such, it won't accumulate merit, it won't increase our merit, it won't prolong our life, it won't strengthen our body, it won't make our body a healthy body. So in short, receiving fame and praise are not essential. Instead, when we receive praise and fame, then we feel pride, we feel joy, and because of that joy, we don't want to practice Dharma. We think we don't need to practice Dharma. We already have what we want. So without feeling sadness, without seeing the faults of samsara, without seeing the faults of this world, one cannot be liberated. One cannot seek the liberation. To seek the liberation, we must know why we need to liberate from this world or samsara. And to know this, we need to know the faults of this world or samsara. Without knowing the faults of this world or samsara, we don't want to liberate. We don't want to separate from this world or samsara because we have this attachment, because we see this is a good place to live. We see this is a happy place to live. (Clears throat) having lots of mundane activities and receiving fame and praise, etc. So receiving fame and praise can jeopardize you to develop the thought of renunciation, the thought of loving kindness, infinite loving kindness, infinite compassion, and others. So actually, focusing on our own fame and praise, etc., can prevent ourselves from doing virtuous deeds or developing altruistic thoughts. So, focusing on gaining fame and praise for oneself is an obstacle for oneself. And it is not a favorable condition for us to develop more joy and happiness. So anger itself is a hindrance of our own merits. And those attackers or the causer of harms are our own favorable condition to practice the Dharma or to practice virtuous deeds. The beggars are not the hindrance of practice of generosity. To practice generosity or to give material gifts, you need the beggar as an object of our generosity. Similarly, those causes of harms are object of our patience. Without them, we cannot practice tolerance and patience. So, they are the ones who give us the opportunity to practice patience. And giving the opportunity to practice patience itself means they are the ones that give us to practice Dharma, because practice of patience itself is practice of Dharma if we do with right motivation. Dharma practice can be combined into six perfections. And practice of passion is one of them. So therefore, practice passion itself is Dharma practice. And anger is giving us, others' anger are the ones that give us the opportunity to practice Dharma. And to practice patience, we need to meet someone who has anger and who acts aggressively, who acts aggressive. If we can find a treasure under our own compound, then we feel joy. We think that this is a very favorable condition for us to feel joy and happy. Similarly, finding our enemy is like finding a treasure, because through that enemy, we can be able to practice patience And through this, we can attain Buddhahood, or the ultimate state. Buddhahood, or the state of enlightenment, is the one where there is all the ultimate qualities, like ultimate happiness, ultimate knowledge, ultimate power, ultimate compassion, ultimate wisdom, and all the other ultimate qualities are on such state. So we respect Buddha because Buddhas are objects of our merit. By having Buddha, we get the chance to do prostration, to do many other virtues like making offerings, and doing circumambulation, or doing prayers, or doing supplications, etc. So Buddha is an object for us to accumulate merit. Similarly, enemies are also the object of our own merit. Because due to our enemies, we are able to practice patience. And participation itself is the accumulation of merit. So both are object of our merit. So both are the cause for us to practice Dharma, for us to attain Buddhahood, for us to remove our defilements. So therefore, we should respect both, because both are object of our merit. Then one might think they don't have equal qualities. Although they don't have equal qualities, Buddha is omniscient, the enemies are not omniscient, they do have faults, but we are not saying they are equal from the quality point of view. We are saying they are equal because from both objects we can accumulate merit, we can attain Buddhahood. So from that perspective, we are saying both are equal. So we must respect. And also, why we have to respect the sentient beings? Buddha himself has extended the loving kindness and compassion to all the beings without any exception. So if we harm others, then it's like harming the Buddha. So because we are doing something that is against Buddha's wish or Buddha's great compassion. So therefore we need to respect. Not only it destroys anger, is the one that not only destroys our matter, but also it causes us to displease the Buddha for the eyes of common people. It seems that we are displeasing the Buddha by harming others. So we can't make, we can't please Buddhas by harming others. If we do the opposite action, then we can please the Buddhas. And it is important for us to please the Buddhas, because to attain Buddhahood, we need to please. Without pleasing the Buddha, we can't attain the Buddhahood. So here, when we say please the Buddha, it doesn't mean from Buddha's own side. It means from our side. For the eyes of common people, we need to please the Buddha. But from his own side, whether we please or not, it does not make any difference. Because Buddha has no fault of such negative thoughts. So we have accumulated merit, and it can be destroyed by our anger. So we need to confess all our anger and its actions. Without keeping it secret, we should disclose all of them and confess them with strong regret. We should confess each of them individually in front of Buddha and try to please the Buddha by following the Buddha's teaching. And also, we should think that all the sentient beings are in the nature of Buddha. Because of this also, we need to respect all the beings. So, pleasing all the beings itself is a method to please Buddha or Sugata. And pleasing others or benefiting others itself can accomplish the purpose of one's self and others. And itself is the method to remove our mundane sufferings or worldly sufferings. So therefore, we should try our best to help others, make them happy. It is easy for us to practice patience to those who are higher than oneself, but it is not easy to practice patience someone who are lower than us. Like, it is not easy to practice patience to ordinary workers or construction workers or beggars, etc. But if we think carefully, then they are not alone. For example, if there's a person who has the support of the king, then those who are wise person will not attack that person, because although they can fight against that person, they can defeat that person, but if they can able to defeat that person, then because that person is king's, that person has king's support, so because of that, the king will take revenge. The king will punish you. So those wise person will not attack that person, because although they can, but they will not, because they foresee that the king is behind that person. So similarly, although we can scold beggars, we can scold construction workers, they are weaker than us, but they are not alone. They have the support of Buddha. And they have the support of law of karma. Or they have the support of the messengers of the Lord of Death. Which means, if we scold or if we disrespect these poor beings, then as a result, one will receive the retribution. And that retribution will be given by these messengers of hell realms. And also, by disrespecting these poor beings, Buddha will not feel happy. So therefore, we say, this poor person has the support of a messenger of Lord of Death and the support of Buddha. So we should respect all of them, irrespective whether they are poor or rich, whether they have supporters or not in this life. If we can please others, if we can benefit others, then in the future we can attain Buddhahood. But not only that, in this life also, we can gain all the favorable conditions which can make ourselves happy and can make others happy. So with this, the sixth chapter has been completed. Now the seventh chapter is on intuitivism, the perfection of intuitivism. So what is the identification of this perfection? Then the answer is, it's a virtuous action, so it means putting great effort with joy on virtuous action is the definition of this fourth perfection. So not all the efforts, not all the diligence are called fourth perfection. If we put great effort on non-virtuous action, then that is not a perfection. So here the perfection means putting great effort with joy on the virtuous actions. Now second, it explains the opposite of to perfection, which is our laziness. This laziness can be divided into three sections. Not applying the virtue or not putting effort in doing virtuous deeds. It's called the laziness of lack of application. And second is called laziness of clinging to mundane activities, which means we are attached on doing non-virtuous actions and indifferent actions. And then the third one is called the laziness of faint-heartedness, which means not having the courage, not having the confidence, thinking that I cannot accomplish Buddha word, I cannot do virtuous actions, I cannot practice Dhamma, etc. So the third one is called the laziness of faint-heartedness. So, after identifying these three types of laziness, now we need to abandon. So first, it explains how to abandon the laziness of lack of application. So here, lack of application refers to lack of application on virtuous actions. If we enjoy the laziness of this world, or if we enjoy the five sense objects of this world, and if we enjoy our mundane sleep, then due to these factors, one will not feel sad on the world of samsara, and due to this, it will create the laziness. So, now how to abandon this? First, we need to develop the thought to put effort on doing virtuous actions with great joy. So for this, we need to know that it is certain that we will die. We should think that this life is very permanent, very impermanent. It is not permanent at all. It is very impermanent. We will die. It is certain that we will die. No one has ever heard or seen someone who was born in this world and who never dies. Even Buddha Shakyamuni's precious body, which is adorned with 32 signs and 8 qualities, need to show that that body also needs to enter into Mahabharata Nirvana. Then, not to mention that our ordinary human body will not die. It is certain that we will die. So, if we just enjoy the sense objects of this world without reflecting on the fear of death or suffering of death, and also the future sufferings of our mundane actions, then it is not right. It is like the buffaloes or other animals who are at the slaughter place, and they don't know they are going to be killed, and they can still experience joy, but actually they don't know, or they can fall off sound sleep, and they don't focus, or they don't have the knowledge of they are dead. So if we also enjoy the worldly life without focusing on our death or suffering of death, then it is not right. It is just like a buffalo having a sound sleep in the butcher's place. So not only it is certain that we will die, but also it is certain that we will die soon. This present life has many obstacles. This life has many obstacles. It is like having a candle in a windy place. So a candle in a windy place will not remain for a long time. It can blow in very short time. Similarly, our life is like this. So we must practice without any delay, because we can die at any time, or the death can strike on us at any time or at anywhere. And the Lord of Death will not see whether these beings have completed their mundane actions or not. Whether we have completed or not, they will strike on us. The death will strike on us. Actually, Jesus Rinpoche Thapa Gyaltsen said, our action will never exhaust. We have plans after plans. We have projects after projects. So we never end our projects or our plans. So whether we finish our plans or not, the death can strike on you at any time. So it means we will die soon, or we will not remain in this life for a long period of time. And as a result of our negative actions, we can experience inexhaustible sufferings in the future. And in this life also, if we have fear of having suffering, then we must adopt the antidote. So to adopt the antidote, we need to use this precious human life. To cross the ocean, we need a boat. In ancient time, we need a boat to cross the ocean or river. So similarly, to cross the ocean of suffering, of samsara, we need this boat of precious human life. And Once we get this chance, we should not waste, because we will not get this chance again and again. And it is not easy for us to get such chance again. So, when we have this golden opportunity, we should not waste our time. We should not spend our time on the sense objects or mundane leisures. Actually, if we abandon the Dharma practice or Dharma teaching, which are the source of infinite joy, and instead, if we feel happy to let our body and mind to distract, then it means in reality we are hating the source of happiness and we are emphasizing to do more of cause of sufferings, which is not right. We should respect the cause and effect, or we should respect what is to be accepted and what is to be rejected. And having this understanding, then we should follow according to our understanding or knowledge. And through this, we can develop the wish to practice Dharma. I think with this, I will conclude my today's teaching. At the end, we should dedicate all our past and present merits to attain Buddhahood for the sake of all the beings. So with this in mind, now we will do the dedication.